We can see how the oil industry has developed into a vast commodity with investments, technical skills, and a workforce that is truly global. What we shouldn't forget, though, is the impact of this on the local communities where the oil was found. Flora MacDonald has worked for the oil industry since oil first came to Aberdeen. She remembers how it changed the city in the early 1970s.
What you have to think about is the fact that in the space of, I would say, 6 years, we went from having no oil business to having an influx of probably somewhere around, how would you quantify it, maybe 15,000 to 20,000 people suddenly arriving, having to be accommodated. They're looking for office accommodation, they're looking for houses, they're entertaining because they're all chasing business, because one rig required the same as the previous rig. So everybody is after that business. And it's a lot of business. You've got to fly the guys out. You've got to clothe them with safety clothing. That was the other thing going on. You know, they were all going for safety trainings. That grew with the oil industry. They need feeding when they're out there, laundering. They all need bedding. They have to floor the rigs. Every 6 months, those rigs, they used to clear them out, clear the beds, the bedding, everything, flooring the lot, and it was all replaced. All the cutlery, everything like that. That's only the catering side. That's only the men looking after the men, which was the side I was on. Then you have the drilling side, all the drilling fluids, the mud, the tools, the equipment, pumps, you name it, they needed it, engineering stuff, major, major engineering contracts, which I don't know a great deal about, I have to admit, but it was all there and it was all happening. You've got mud companies, you've got drilling companies, you've got diamond bit companies. You just think of it all, you know, I mean, it was just all doing this. It was like jitterbugs, really. Aberdeen was really, really jumping.
I tried my dead level best to get along and to integrate myself in the local people. I can remember going to the pub and the people were very friendly. The pub shut at 10:30.
Dennis Crown, a drilling man, came to Aberdeen from Texas, determined to fit in and be accepted by the local population.
The people would invite me around after to their house and, you know, take a carry out and go back and have a conversation. And we integrated ourselves pretty well. Some of those people are my friends. In fact, one was my neighbor today.
Well, let's not say from day one, but perhaps 6 months to a year into the oil business, local people could see how their lives were being affected because the prices were being pushed up and they were being pushed out. Local people were no longer good enough to work in the oil business except in the most menial jobs. That's roustabouts offshore. And they were treated like dirt, particularly by the Americans. Because don't forget, all these oil rigs had been working in Africa and the Gulf, where they'd been using like Cubans, Filipinos, Egyptians, Africans. These people would work for a lot less money than your average Joe Blogg Scotsman. You know, he rightly thinks himself a good, hard-working man who deserves a decent wage for the job he does. He doesn't want to be treated like a peasant. He had enough of that from the English. He doesn't want it from the Americans, you know. And that was palpable. And that is still probably the case today.
Working on the rigs was dangerous and required a high level of skill. But in spite of that, says Jake Molloy, it was a real adventure.
Just married, kid on the way, had to find work, and coming from the building side at the time, it was pretty desperate, especially in the area. I was brought up in Dundee. Got a call out of the blue from an agency asking me if I would be prepared to go offshore. Arrived in Aberdeen at 8 o'clock Monday morning and was offshore about 11 o'clock that morning without ever having been in an aeroplane or flown in a helicopter or done any kind of survival training of any kind. And it was an adventure.
Month by month, people were heading out to work on the rigs in the North Sea and developing their own understanding of what the oil industry was all about. When photographer Owen Logan began his photography project, Oil Lives, he decided to work with an oral history project about the oil industry which had been collected by the University of Aberdeen and the British Library. His photographs are now hanging in the Scottish Parliament.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to walk down this hall now. If you just gather at the end of the hallway for me, but as you do, look at the photographs on your left. They were specially commissioned for the Parliament Art Collection.
It's a contemporary archive featuring life histories of people who have worked in the oil industry or whose lives have been affected by it.
What the informants in that project show through their life stories, through their narratives, is something bigger than the oil industry. It's an oil economy. There are a range of people, some of them are working in the industry, but some of them are looking on to the industry from their experiences in other economic sectors. Some of them are people who work on the land. But they all have a sense of this oil economy, which is something that overlaps into their everyday life. But the main images are actually, in many cases, meant to illustrate certain things that come through in the life stories, which are very interesting.
Flora MacDonald, first of all, here on your left, with pictures of the actual industry.
The photographs were commissioned by the Scottish Art Advisory Group, whose chairman is MSP Jamie Stone. He felt this project was needed because it would help reflect the importance of the oil industry, not only to Scotland, but to people's everyday lives.
Well, the aim behind commissioning these photographs for the Scottish Parliament was to, firstly, to try and get some of the work of some of our best contemporary photographers. Secondly, we live in the age of the moving image or the photograph, but essentially real images on the wall, either moving or static. So it's relevant to today's society, it's relevant to today's taste in art. And thirdly, it is about reflecting different aspects of Scottish life. And so I think it's through the medium of the person telling the story that it reaches out to people and people can relate to that. And that's what's clever about it.
Bob Ballantyne, a little further, showing the people working in their setting.
In Bob Ballantyne's experience and in his life story, this sense of masculinity and power was used, or as far as he could see, it was used very much. It was mobilised within the oil industry to get workers to think less about issues of health and safety and more about their virility as oil workers. And this was something that people like Bob, who were active trade unionists, rejected. They rejected the kind of nicknames that were used for oil workers, which were nicknames like tigers and bears. And they said, you know, we're not tigers or bears, we're pussycats. And I thought, when Bob talks about that in his life story and spoke to me about that, I thought it was very brave to actually take on that counter nickname, especially in an environment which is overwhelmingly masculine. So this idea of masculinity and power, they're not abstract ideas. They're mobilised. They have political outcomes. And again, that's very apparent in Bob's life story, and that's why I made this image, Tigers, about this very thing.
And just as Owen reflected Bob Ballantyne's story in his photograph called Tigers, he also picked up on a phrase used by Flora MacDonald in her interview with the Aberdeen Oral History Project. Flora questioned the whereabouts of all this oil money as she couldn't see much evidence of Aberdeen benefiting from it. And Owen, picking up on this, produced the photo which is reproduced in the photo essay at the end of Chapter 5 of A Demanding World. Flora now works for a fishing company, an industry marginalised in Aberdeen by a number of factors, including the priority given by the local council to the needs of oil companies rather than fishing boats in the harbour. After complaining about how Owen got her to stand on a box in Aberdeen's fish market, Flora discussed the photograph that Owen eventually took.
Looking at the picture here, I'm actually standing on this fish box, which has been superimposed into the airport, which I suppose is really quite relevant because all the oil business has virtually comes through the airport, particularly Americans and Europeans. They're all coming into this airport, and this is the modern airport of today, not the old tatty building which I started out in. I can remember the first oil man that came off one of our inaugural flights, and he looked around and he said, "Oh, this is like a place in the outback." Aberdeen Airport at that time wasn't much more than a shack. We only had one gate and it had manual rollers. So this is the modern view, and I've been superimposed onto this in the airport, and her hands shaking. And I suppose this reflects the deals that have been done in the business world. And there's an empty hand here too. And I know whose hand that is. It's not mine. That seems to me to say something about my hand's out and I haven't got anything. So I think that hand is looking for what happened to their share of all this business that's been done, and where has all the money gone that came out of it? That's what the picture's saying to me.
Although both Bob and Flora's photos raise pressing questions about the oil industry, the way its macho culture plays into dangerous attitudes about health and safety, and the way its profits seem to have left Aberdeen, the photos themselves aren't making specific demands. Instead, they are asking us to think more carefully than we're usually encouraged to do about how the oil industry really works.
They're nice photos, they're good quality. The one thing I would say is to understand the pictures and their relevance to the oil industry, I think you need to read the panels of information before the pictures, and then you would appreciate the pictures themselves more.
I think the photos are very powerful because they tell the story of the common people, and being presented in the Parliament building is appropriate because the Parliament building should represent the people, and telling the story of the people is what I see in these photos. So even though they weren't people who made the headlines, they were the people that built this country and made it what it is.